Hey guys, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Glad to have you here. We are getting off the turkey train momentarily on this episode, and we're talking about some food plot stuff, thinking more deer focused.
Yeah, we're done with turkeys.
We are done, but we're going to touch and...
That's true, yeah.
And
it's not over.
We're still going to nibble a little bit on turkey hunting here and there for the next couple episodes. So sorry if you hate turkeys, but you're welcome if you like turkey hunting. Because I don't think everybody agrees with us on, like, the fuck turkeys thing.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people like
turkeys. I don't fully mean it. Just it's funny when Eric's here to do it. But anyway, announcements. Podcast is still June 12th. For everyone asking, you don't need to register in advance. You just show up and register there. The after party starts at... Just after you leave the shoot, go to Jigs's Tavern in Alexis. Yeah. There's going to be some live music there.
It's going to be a great time.
It's going to be a real great time. What else? Other announcements? Really, that's it right now. We have some stuff brewing that is going to come out here, and we're still working on our new studio.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome. We got, I mean, not a whole lot of work.
No, we've been doing work.
Yeah. We're actually, after we do this intro, we've already recorded the episode. We're going to go work on it and do a recording at the bar at our new studio.
I'm excited.
That'll be fun.
It will be.
Well, it'll be kind of the first official podcast at the building, but not in the studio. And our security cameras are going off at the studio, so that must mean Eric just walked
Eric
in the
showed
door.
Showed up there. Already.
We have security cameras, and we hired security, so
they
hang out there.
Watch out.
The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Absolutely love our HHAs. We get a lot of questions on going from a multi-pin site to a single-pin site. Personally, for me, the transition wasn't hard because it brings up clarity when you're aiming. I like that a lot better. I like the dependability of HHA products that back it with a lifetime warranty. Mm-hmm. And Midwestern, Wisconsin proud. HHASports.com. And you can use code WCB15 to get yourself into a new sight rest or stabilizer setup. Also, Scent Crusher. I am really on the studio floor right now as my roller bag. I'm using that as my luggage for our Wyoming bear hunt trip next week. So
that's smart.
Everything I'm putting all my Huntworth camo in there, getting it all off to one side. And then I'm packing my backpack. I have a tree stand Badlands backpack. I'm packing everything in there that I need and stuffing that inside the roller bag and zipping it up. And that's what I'm going to take.
Do you really need that many other clothes?
Not really. It's a little weird there. Like I have some of the heavyweight Huntworth stuff to go. When it gets cold in the afternoon when you're hunting and then in the mornings and at night. And then it kind of gets warm during the day, but it works out good. Like that roller bag is so durable and it's got wheels like luggage and you can fit so much in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think I have all my hunting clothes, my pack, my safety harness, my sleeping bags in there and I still have room.
Nice.
I could get inside that thing and you could zip it up and roll me around in it if you had to. So,
save you a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be horrifying. So kind of like a 2-in-1 plug there is the Scent Crusher roller bag and Huntworth, what's great about Huntworth. I'm disarming the security cameras that are going off like crazy. Their stuff is super reasonably priced and you can get it about anywhere. Like our Farm King has it. I believe Farm and Fleet carries it. They have two awesome patterns, Tarnin is one. Let me grab their glove. They're known for their gloves. Let me grab them. Hold on.
I haven't seen these bad boys yet.
Intermission.
I saw Eric's. He wore that turkey hunt. The Huntworth.
Yeah, he had. That was like shipped to us. I was like, it fits Eric better. He has less of a beer belly. Yeah, this is some of their gloves. They have like lightweight, midweight, heavyweight, everything. But these are all in Disruption. They're one of their patterns, which is more of like a digital look pattern. I like them both. I like Disruption and Tarnin. I'll probably wear like a mixture of the two, actually, kind of break up the different stuff. But
I like it. Looks good.
Got base layers. I'm set. And it only takes up a very small amount of that Scent Crusher roller bag. So it's kind of a great, great setup. And it's just good-looking stuff, too, especially for the price. Like, you can be into top-notch camo for, like, I hate the term working-class budget, but you can get into it for not a lot of money at all.
Look good, feel good.
That's exactly right. Also, Big Tine is one of our proud partners. They are title sponsoring the shoot, actually, and title sponsoring the after party. I feel guilty. I don't feel guilty because it's not my fault, but I had some things happen in my life and I haven't been able to do the spring plots that I want.
Yeah.
But I'm working on getting in. I'm at least going to try and get some clover out. I really, really wanted to get borderline out, but I'll still probably plant it. Won't get as tall as I want, I don't think. But after the bear hunt, if I can get to it, I think I can get it in time.
I think you'd be good.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hope. But
doesn't hurt to try either.
I still have plans on doing like some working class food plot videos showing how you can do it for cheap.
Yeah.
I've been mowing one of the food plots with my zero turn.
There you go.
So you can, however you got to make it work,
yeah, you got to make it work.
Big Time has a code, everything on their store except for the soil sample tests or soil test kits. WCB 2021. Podcast also brought to you by Rogue Ridge and The Grind Turkey Calls and Decoys. The Rogue Ridge, man. I wish I could take it to Wyoming with me, but I don't know if I really want to roll that baby on a plane. We're
just passing by one on horses.
Yeah.
Losers.
A bear thing. I'm some sort of animal and just maul me down.
Oh, shit.
I could jump over a bear on my Rogue Ridge and get away. Rogue Ridge is, those things are fun. Yeah. I had a couple of listeners messaging me about them. I think they're starting to think about them coming into the summer and into the fall and maybe trying to justify to their old ladies. Like, yeah, instead of buying a four-wheeler, I wanted to buy one of those, like, scent-free, quiet. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and honestly, they're fun.
Yeah.
You know, I think people forget that part of it. It's a damn good time. You can pedal it like a bike.
Yeah.
If you need a workout, ride around, jumping around like I do. I don't know. I beat the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand.
I think Rogue Ridge probably low-key is like, hey, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, take it easy.
They haven't said anything. But I think if we keep doing photo shoots and me trying to jump the thing and snap it in half.
Because every time there's a camera, you're like, hey, watch this.
Hey, get that thing out. Like 3 foot of air that time. I don't know. They haven't said anything. I don't think they care.
Hey, put it to the test.
Hey, that's what they're working to us for, right?
Yeah.
Also, Old Barn Taxidermy, man. And a huge shout out to everybody at Old Barn Taxidermy. I just picked up my bear, which is just mind-blowing. And I almost feel a little bad that I picked up my bear the same time I picked up my dad's last buck that he shot last fall.
Yeah.
Because it's not that anything's wrong with the bear, but it's like they did a tribute to my old man, to Papa Dave, on the buck. Like, they put a canvas photo of my dad with the buck on the back of the wall pedestal. And I'm not kidding. The shoulder mount is one of the most beautiful shoulder mounts that I've ever seen.
It's killer.
It is mind-blowing. I mean, it helps that the buck has like an early season cape.
Yeah.
Because my dad shot it October 8th or October 9th.
Still, though.
But it is, dude, the work is, it's insane. To me, it is mind-blowing that people that are local to our area or like within a couple-hour driving distance to Old Barn, it blows my mind that people still think that they can save money by going to another taxiderm. Like, it kind of upsets me a little bit. From the experiences we have with like how good the quality is, the price is not bad. You're mid 500s for a top notch shoulder mount,
and like the time you get it back too.
Yeah, the time you get it back, you're not gonna wait 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. You just won't. Like, it's the most efficiently ran taxidermy. I'm confident saying that it has to be the most efficiently ran taxidermy business there is.
You gotta be right.
I walked. Sam has shown me like all the stuff they change at the taxidermy shop. They have a monitor that comes up that has like their hit list for the week of what they need to get mounted under each person's name, like the finishers and the taxidermy game. Yeah.
Damn.
Like, I walked in there, your mom's buck was getting mounted. Casey Thompson, a WCB member, her buck was in there.
Got the assembly line there.
It's insane how efficient it is. So if that interests you, check out Old Barn Taxidermy. I promise you will not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. I look at it as a tattoo. Don't waste your money on shitty tattoos and don't waste your money on shitty taxidermy. You spend all your money on everything else for hunting.
Yeah.
Don't quit it out on taxidermy because, you know.
Yeah, don't be licking on the wall later on like, fuck.
Yeah. Don't. God damn. It's embarrassing too.
Yeah.
Old Barn Taxidermy. Absolutely love them. Gator Outdoors. Wade's actually going to be on the bear hunt with us, the owner of Gator.
Oh,
he's
going
to be on the the last week of bear camp. So there'll be a lot of Gator Outdoors photos. Lifestyle brand. Just good people in general.
He better be at the shoot too, the dick.
He has to. I think they're setting up a Gator Outdoors tent at the shoot. So
better.
But they got, you can go to GatorOutdoors.com and use code WCB25 and save some money. Also, Elite Archery. I have a Remedy sitting here, and I haven't been able to set it up. So I'm taking my Cure, which is completely okay.
Yeah.
It's already dialed in. I just didn't want to get cut short on time and feel unprepared.
Yeah, like rush tightening it in.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like I want it to be nice. But
pristine.
I should have that thing going for the shoot, I hope, anyway.
I'm trying to get mine ready for the shoot, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to have it ready.
Yeah, you should have that thing rocking by now, but it's all
it
good.
It is what it is.
We got some big news coming with Elite here in the next month or so. Some exciting stuff coming down the line. Super thankful for that partnership. And new to our partners, Spy Point Cameras. I'm excited for this one. There's some cool stuff. They're willing to work with us. They're stepping some things up on the Spy Point side. We're most familiar with the CellLink product from them. Basically, you buy a unit that attaches to any trail camera you have, and it plugs in the SD slot, and it turns any regular trail camera into a cellular camera.
That's nuts.
I know some people have issues with them. Some people don't. I recommend use good batteries, like lithium batteries, and then make sure your camera, like firmware or software or whatever, on your CellLink unit and your camera is all updated, and you shouldn't have any issues. Hmm. I ran 6 this year with no hiccups. I ran the Verizon, and where I'm at, that's the best.
Yeah, I think that,
in my experience, that's the best. Yeah, so I had no issues. So maybe if you ever did have an issue with one of those, maybe make sure all that's up to date. And they're working on stepping up all their customer service and everything too.
Weird. You think service would be, available everywhere? It's like 2021, man.
Like worldwide Wi-Fi. Yeah. It should be.
Like, come on.
It should be. I don't know. What do you do?
We're getting there.
Whatever. Couple of things, Doug. I know you have a veteran shout out. Sorry if we're getting rambly here. But I wanted to read something quick before you do the veteran shout out.
Okay.
I had somebody write this in. I'm going to just read it as it was sent to me, because I don't know this person, but I want to at least give this guy a shout out. So Adam Hudson wrote in, "Hey fellas, not sure if y'all can give this a shout out or not. If not, I understand. Tyler Carroll is a guy from my area and was on his way home to Charleston, West Virginia, when he witnessed a pretty bad crash. He pulled over to help, and when he got out of his vehicle, he was struck by another vehicle traveling at highway speed. He's in the hospital and has to go through multiple operations and blood transfusion. Tyler's a pipe fitter and an outdoorsman. If y'all would like to know more, there is a Facebook page with a GoFundMe for medical expenses." Okay, I'll see if I can find that and link that into the description of the episode. But if not, Adam Hudson on Instagram has that information. But, man, that just sucks to hear that he's trying to do something good. And
that's insane.
Well, hopefully you're pulling through okay, Tyler, and we are wishing for a speedy recovery for you, man. That's crazy. You hate to hear good people get hurt like that, man. But, okay, I'll try and find that GoFundMe and link it in so everybody can find that they want to contribute to that. Anyway, hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, hope he does. Hope he pulled out.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Sounds like a tough bastard anyway, so.
For sure.
You know?
This veteran shout-out is brought to you by Operation HHA USA. Check them out. They should be having shoots coming up here soon. Probably starting.
They're going already.
Yeah, they're
going
already. Yeah. We got to get to one though.
I know. I was thinking about that. I'm like, the world's caving in on us. We got to get something figured
we'll
out.
We'll make it work.
We've been saying that for like 6 weeks.
I know. This is submitted by Courtney Jones, and the veteran is Jordan Jones. He's in the U.S. Army. Says my husband is a huge fan of the show and listens to it regularly. There isn't very many car rides anymore that doesn't involve the show. He served in the Army for almost 5 years and deployed twice in Afghanistan. Now home, he works for our local sheriff's office as a K-9 officer and teaches DARE to elementary kids. There isn't very many car rides anymore that doesn't involve the show. He loves to bow hunt and chase spring gobblers. So thanks for submitting that, Courtney, and thanks for your service, Jordan. Hopefully.
Thanks, Jordan.
He smacked a gobbler.
I love that. Like, she's probably low-key rolling her eyes at us because she has to listen to our dumb asses talk in the car.
Hopefully this one gets played a lot just because you can hear his name again.
Just repeat this one.
Yeah, just put it on repeat.
You'll be fine.
This will be your favorite episode.
Awesome. Thanks for your service, man.
Yeah, thank you for your service, Jordan, and good luck this upcoming season.
Getting ready to transfer into whitetail stuff here, but this is food plot related. We hope you enjoy. We're going to quit rambling and let you get to your episode of enjoyment. Thank you for the support. Give me another beer, Doug. All right, here we are. We have Lincoln Roan on the phone with us. What's going on, man?
Hey, we're just waiting on the podcast. You're ready to go.
Yeah, we appreciate you doing this. We met at the Iowa Classic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep, the Iowa Deer Classic. Yeah, we had booths right across the aisle.
Yeah, which was cool. Sorry that you had to witness our shenanigans all weekend.
And put up with our shit, too.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I'll say, typically, I'm like, man, I feel bad for our booth neighbors at most shows because we're kind of, we can get rowdy. I don't know. It depends.
You guys were good. It was fun. It was cool to have you across from us.
Yeah, so it worked out. We're like, hey, exchanged numbers and talked a little bit and like, well, let's get a podcast done. And here we are a few months later. And so, man, talk about Packer Max and kind of just build up like how you got into the industry or the food plot industry or implement industry, whatever you consider it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of started out, you know, I've been obviously planting food plots of my own, you know, on our own property for, you know, over, a little over 20 years. I'm a little bit older than you guys, but we won't go there.
Yeah,
so,
we won't talk about that. Yeah.
Right, right. So, but, you know, so basically it was a whole system of trial and error and learning, you know, throughout that probably decade of planting food plots on our own. And, you know, I learned a lot along the way, and we've became, you know, kind of, we went from deer hunters to deer managers through that whole process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're doing habitat projects and, you know, and expanding food plots and just trying to get better at it. And, you know, for herd nutrition, for growing, you know, bigger deer, because who doesn't like that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were planting food plots and learning along the way. We started kind of driving over, you know, we'd seed our food plots, and then we would end up driving over them with tractor tires, and that wasn't quite getting it. And then we ended up buying a lawn roller, and that wasn't quite getting it.
The old chain link fence trick sometimes I've seen or I've used.
Yeah, bed spring, you know, whatever, or a pallet, you know.
Right.
Hack a harrow section off and use that.
Yep.
Bed spring.
Yeah, you know, you burn a bed spring or you burn a mattress and use the bed spring, you know. And so that wasn't quite getting it. And then I ended up finding this, the Packer Max, online, and just kind of stumbled on it. We were looking for a cultipacker, and I thought, you know, those are pretty cool. You know, you fill them with water and you get your weight. And, so I ended up buying one and, absolutely loved it. It was a game changer for our food plot program. You know, you get better germination rates, you know, better seed to soil contact, just an overall better performing food plot. When you use a cultipacker, I mean, there's a reason farmers have been using these things for generations. That's because they work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, and I love the fact you could drain it out and move it around, you know, you fill it with water to get your weight. And so we ended up buying that. And I have a deer hunting group here in Michigan. It's called Michigan Deer Hunters. Let them go and let them grow. And that's a Facebook group. We have about 30,000 members. Yeah. And, you know, we had some big events, and the previous owner reached out to me and donated a couple of these things to our events. And so through that process, I got to know him pretty well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was pretty interested in his business and whatnot. And thought it was pretty cool. He's doing something he loved. And he reached out to me one day and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about selling my company. Would you care if I posted it for sale on your, you know, on your Facebook page? And I'm like, well, you know, hold on a minute, let's talk about this. So I'm not smart enough to invent the product, but I'm smart enough to know a good product when I see it, and I bought the company. So
very cool. Awesome.
You know, and so so through that process, you know, I call it my Shark Tank deal.
right. There you go. Know, kind of is, yeah.
Right. You know, so we kind of, you know, we did a financing thing through, you know, with each other. And, you know, we paid a royalty type of deal till the business was paid off. And you know, we took it, and he hadn't done much with it at all. But I knew it was a great product. And so we started, you know, the process of, you know, the building the Facebook, building the Instagram, building
all the marketing
brand
stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and at the same time, you know, trying to, you know, get it out there, get it sold, get it, you know, get it shipped. That's the other nice thing about these is we can ship them right to your doorstep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, which is huge for, you know, a call to pack, because obviously the cast iron ones, you're not shipping them anywhere.
Right. Yeah, Amazon's not dropping off. Yeah. Dropping
unless
off.
You got a fork, unless you got a fork truck at your house.
Right, exactly. So anyway, we bought the company, and kind of the rest is history. And you know, and we've grown every single year. I bought it 3 years ago. Our first year, you know, we did maybe 150 units, and I was doing it part time at the time. I still had a career in, I was an operations manager at a small company in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then through a chain of events, I ended up losing my job, and which seemed, you know, was a tough blow at that time, but mm-hmm. you know, there's that silver lining, and I've always wanted to own my own business. And I just decided, you know what, you know, we're going to take this thing and run with it. And, so I started, you know, full time, and you know, the following year, you know, we did 400, and then you know, last year, even through COVID, we did 850, and we're on track to probably triple that this year.
Wow, so, that's awesome, man! Congrats,
yeah, good for you.
Thank you. So you know, it's been a cool process. You know, you know the old scenario. You know, if you love what you do, you're never going to work a day in your life, and you know, that is true to some degree, but I mean, owning a company, obviously you're kind of in control of your own destiny, so to speak. And, you know, it's a lot of work, and, mm-hmm. It's a whole different kind of stress though. I can't even explain to you. It's just a different stress than when you're in a company situation, you have a boss that's just, you know, dragging on you or whatever.
Right.
You know, also, too, like everybody and so.
A corporate situation, it's you're kind of guaranteed checks in
yes.
a way. Whereas
yes.
when you work for yourself, it's like your hustle now gets you paid for later down the road. Mm-hmm. It's not like that
yep.
paycheck on Friday type difference.
Yep. You are 100% correct. And you know, and through that process, you know, that security of having that check every week, when all of a sudden that disappears and you know, my wife was completely not on board with doing this because, you know, they need that security. And
right.
you know, and I said, well, how secure is it when you, you know, you lose your job after 15 years, you know? So,
right. Good point.
So,
she just wants to keep that sugar daddy around, you know?
What's that?
She needs to keep that sugar daddy around, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. So we, you know, here we are. We've been busting it and, we've grown it into you know, a legitimate company that is, getting to be, you know, recognized around and, we, like you said, we were at the Deer Classic together and, you know, and besides you guys, you know, have with all the celebrities in your booth, you know,
easy.
You saw it. We had a pretty steady flow of, you know, big names coming through our booth, you know, talking to us. And, you know, when Mark Drury, comes in and says, hey man, you guys are doing a fantastic job. You know, they have one. I sent them one and they, you know, he literally said, we're going to use the shit out of this thing, you know? And
yeah.
when Mark Drury says that, you know, you're like, okay, you know,
you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're feeling pretty good about it, you know? And then, you know, I know Glessinger's been on your show a few times and,
yeah.
you know, he's got, he's going to be getting one, but he's just, you know, he's all about it. He's just very,
I love
very
that
interested
guy.
In the thing. So
super smart. He's very intelligent when it comes to that stuff.
Oh yeah. It's
oh, yeah.
That guy was
awesome.
Really cool, man. We got along really well. I'm looking forward to recording a lot more shows with that guy.
Absolutely.
He's our people.
His knowledge base of big whitetails is crazy. I mean, it's any, well, you know, and again, like you guys said in the podcast with him, you know, anybody that's got 300-200-inch bucks, you know, I think it was 3 years running, isn't it? Or
I think like
three out of four,
three and a 190 something
yeah.
in 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You can't argue with that.
Hey,
I don't care.
He's got something figured out.
Well, that's
right.
That is a good point. Cause there's nothing anybody can say. Like you can be a hater and be like, well, yeah, but he's hunting it. Yeah. But he did the work to get
those
bucks.
He put the freaking work in to get, yeah,
you
exactly.
know, that doesn't happen by
yes.
accident. Otherwise that happened
no.
all the time.
Right, exactly. Right. You and I could go out and shoot 190s on a regular basis, you know.
Right.
And obviously that doesn't happen. So
you know how many 190 typicals I've seen?
I,
Maybe
never,
one.
I've never
maybe
seen
one. And probably it wasn't. It was probably 140, and I got excited.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I hunt,
it was 400 yards away.
I hunt in Michigan, so we don't. There, I don't know that there's a 190 in the entire county that I hunt. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that just goes to show, like, some of these guys are so dialed. So, but you know, going back to that, that's what makes it such a big deal when Greg's excited about it or Mark Jury gives you credit for something, because those guys have done it all. They've seen it all. They're not going to just hand out compliments because they just for the fuck of it. Like, they mean it when they say it.
And they probably use every piece of equipment out there too.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, so, you know, and then, and we've got it on, you know, a bunch of different YouTube channels, and, you know, it's a great product. And again, it's, it, I always say he who has the most groceries wins. And, you know, if you don't have a good base of groceries on your property, you know, that's probably the most important part of it, along with some other things. But,
yeah,
you know, you got to have good groceries. If you don't, you know, you might as well, you're going to be struggling. So.
Right, right. Well, Lincoln, so when I talk to people, I'm like, oh, yeah, I say like Colta Packer. I find most of my hardcore deer hunting guys that I'm talking to, they're like, oh, yeah, I got one, or yeah, I need to get one.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would say probably half the people I talk to are like, what's a Colta Packer?
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Can you break down what a Colta Packer is physically and then what it does?
So the old style Colta Packers are, you know, they're cast iron, they're big, bulky, heavy. You know, they're made out of a bunch of individual discs on a axle. And what you would do, or what happens, is you till or disc your soil, you broadcast the seed, and then you run over with a Colta Packer. And it actually sets the seed into the soil, presses it down in. You want good seed to soil contact. And then when it does that, it also it compresses the soil to help to retain the soil moisture that's there. And then it leaves grooves in the soil. And this is probably the single most important thing, is the grooves that are left in the soil. It channels that moisture when you get rainfall, precipitation. It channels that moisture to the bottom of the grooves, and it holds it there, and it keeps it from running off. It allows it to absorb and stay put.
Interesting. I just thought it was just so it looked cool.
Well, I mean, it's part of that too. You know, if you say, you know, hey, I got a Colta Packer, I'm a badass, I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But
that makes a lot of sense.
So they, you know, again, farmers have been using these things for generations for a reason, and it's just because they make such a huge difference in seed to soil contact, you know, soil moisture retention, and just overall food plot performance. Once in your germination rates, it's crazy that they send me these, you know, they send me pictures of, you know, like food plot or some trail camera pictures that they have on their food plot from when they planted it, and then 10 days later, you know, after they use the Packer Max, they've got a green, up and growing, you know, legitimate food plot already. I mean, the germination rates are just crazy. So, you know, once that stuff's up and growing, you know, the root systems are getting established, you're holding that moisture, and, you know, the rest is history. So
it's just crazy, those little things you can do, like using a Colta Packer that can make your food plot grow that much faster, you know, instead of just broadcasting and letting it sit on top of the soil, you know, you're actually pushing it in the ground and then sustaining that water. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and you're not setting the soil, you know, you're not setting it too deep either, where, you know, a lot of times, especially with, you know, clovers or brassicas, which are so incredibly, you know, popular with for whitetail forages, is, you know, if you set those too deep, they are not going to grow.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So just by seeding into the smaller seeds, what you would do is you would, you know, broadcast or your till or disc, whatever the case may be, you would then Colta pack the field, and then you'd broadcast your seed, and then you'd pack it again, because you want to broadcast onto a firm seed bed.
Ah, right. Interesting.
And then push, you know, and then that sets that seed down and to the perfect, you know, eighth inch or even just pushed into the soil, and you get your first rain, and it's off to the races.
And then it pops up in little rows too, so you look even cooler.
Yep.
Look what you know you're doing.
Yep. People go, you know, they always ask, God, did you plant that with a green drill? I'm like, nope.
Just, it's all me, baby, right there.
I planted each individual seed in a row by hand.
Exactly.
Your inner Amish came out and you just went for it. You know, I'm learning. I say this every probably food plot related podcast we do. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much information about food plotting that I forget it all. And I feel I think I'll forever feel like an idiot when it comes to food plots. But I'm slowly retaining information after 6 years of talking about it on a podcast.
We're getting there.
I'm very working class budget minded. Like, I just bought myself a little John Deere 650. I just got a little compact tiller for it, and I'm a little brush cutter is next on the list. And then of course this Cultipacker, I'm planning to all have a part of my, working class bow hunter food plot, idiot toolkit.
The arsenal.
So I'm going to, you know, pay more and more attention and actually apply it and use it to the best of my budget and with the best products I can get a hold of. So, but anyway, so I'm looking forward to using some of this and over the years seeing what kind of difference it makes. Because before it's like I'd have to pay a buddy to come out, till pay or pay them in product, and then have them till for me. Then we broadcast, and 1 year we did have a Cultipacker, like a handmade deal, and it did make a huge, huge difference. But other than that, it's like just drive over it or hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. Right, just throw on top of the dirt.
But what's, I think, it's almost like adds that, like you're licking the envelope on your food plot.
Yeah.
Would be kind of like the analogy, I guess.
Putting a seal on it.
Putting the seal on it.
Putting the stamp of approval.
Yep, it is the final pass is likely the most important part of the whole process. So, you know, and exactly that, what you learn over the years, like I'm going to say a food plotter's best friend is a notepad.
Oh, and okay.
Or an iPad or something you can take notes on, because from 1 year to the next, a lot of guys forget what they did.
Right.
You know, I'm finding that all the time. And, you know, in my business, because we sell, you know, in our shop, we sell food plot seed, we sell, you know, sell liquid fertilizer, and obviously the Packermax line of Cultipackers. But, you know, these guys are constantly asking these questions, you know, should I get a soil test? Absolutely, 100%. If you don't know where your nutrient levels are, or your pH is, you're just pissing into the wind and you're just guessing.
I'm terrible at getting soil tests.
Oh, I'm the worst.
I'm so bad at it.
Everybody is.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her.
Right. Who's that? You know, so they're incredibly important, and they're so easy. All you got to do is, you know, gather up some dirt. You know, I always say take the top 4 inches over, you know, over in maybe 4 or 5 places, like in a 1 acre food plot, and you know, you put it in a bucket, you mix it up. You know, dry it out a little bit, put it in a bag and send it to, you know, Biologic has a, if you go on to plantbiologic.com, you know, they have a link right on there for soil test.
We got to shout out Big Time. Big Time has a soil test kit on their website too.
Yep. Big Time's got one. Plot Doctor has one. I mean, you know, all these, there's several available. They're cheap. They're like, you know, 10, 12 bucks.
And even if you're
then
in like
send a, you an email back with, you know, exactly your nutrient levels and what you need. So,
okay. So they lay it out for you. They don't expect somebody like me to figure out what I need.
No, like this, and I the Biologic one, you know, they break it down even to square foot. Cause a lot of food plots, I'm going to say, I mean, most food plots are not an acre.
Right. You know? Yeah. I don't think I've ever planted a full acre food plot. Most of them are like third acre or half acre is a big one for me.
Yep, exactly. And probably 90% of the guys that I talk to, you know, all of their food plots are 1 acre or less. And so, they'll break it down into, you know, tons per acre or tons per or pounds per square foot. And then you just, all you need to do is, you know, it's super easy to measure out your food plot on, you know, on different apps, you know, Onyx, Hunt Stand, you know, all these different apps. You can, you know, just outline your perimeter of your food plot.
Yeah.
And it tells you exactly how big it is. So, And then you know what you're working with. You know, if it calls for 400 pounds of lime per, or 1,000 pounds of lime per acre, well, then, you know what you're doing. And then how much nitrogen and potash and phosphorus. So.
I got to be honest with you. I think maybe part of the reason why I haven't done soil test kits, I've done them in the past, partially because my old man, like, had led the way on that, and I was just like, yeah, okay.
right.
But I guess I'm kind of a worthless food plotter. I'm, like, having a self-realization as I talk about it. I think part of the fear is, and maybe I can speak for some of the listeners out there or maybe everybody else in the studio right now, that we're kind of like, yeah, we're pissing in the wind without doing it, but I think low-key we're kind of like, we're busy. That's a headache to have to put down potash and lime and all the stuff, and we're kind of just like spray and pray and hope it works out, even though we're probably wasting more money by not getting the soil test kit done. And then, you know,
well, that too, and like with myself, I can't access any of my food plots with any equipment, so
right, they're hand tools type stuff.
You know, and that's one thing with this whole no-till process that's been become, you know, it's becoming so popular.
Yeah, that's why that big time buck brunch is so popular with our listeners and stuff, because that's the most reliable in our experience.
And you know, and you can use a backpack sprayer, you know, like if you have a, if just say if you have a quarter of an acre micro plot and you can't even get it, you know, you can't get a tractor to, if you can get a quad runner to it with a sprayer or a backpack sprayer, you know, you go in there, you hit the glyphosate, or Roundup, whatever, and you kill all your, you know, kill your vegetation, let it set for a couple of weeks, let that, you know, vegetation maybe start to break down. You can literally broadcast right into that standing grass or vegetation that's dead and run the cul-de-packer, you know, the Packer Max over it, and push that seed down in, and you kind of lay that thatch down over the seed. And I'm telling you, it works like a champ. And
that's good to
know. You don't have to do any killing, don't do anything. You're literally using the grass or the thatch as when they seed along the side of a highway, they throw straw down, you know, and it's kind of the same principle. And
interesting. Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, so you got a lot of people are doing that. Some guys are you know, trying to build their soil. They're planting buckwheat, you know, in say June, and then when the buckwheat gets, you know, 2 feet tall or whatever, and then in September, the first part of September, when it's time to plant your fall plots, you broadcast right into that standing buckwheat, and then you crush it down with the Packer Max, and you can spray it at that point too with glyphosate, and then it's just like laying a quarter of an inch of dirt over your seeds. It comes up through that, you know, through the stalks of the buckwheat, and that buckwheat material, you know, breaks down and it becomes organic material. So you're literally building your soil from the top down.
Oh man, I think that's a pro tip, because I found, until I got my little 1984 John Deere 650, shout out to the working class guys, I didn't have access to a mower, and it was always a pain in the ass to get the mower I needed for something like that. So
I'm out there with my push mower, you know.
I mowed what's going to be my future plot today with my zero turn, all with a deck all the way up.
Oh hell yeah!
I'm taking my push mower out there and fucking whack some shit down.
while we're talking about that, I found a video online of a guy. He took his push mower and he took a grinder or a cutting wheel and hacked out the front third of his push mower. And it turns it into a brush mower, because it just kicks all the material out the front of it.
Oh, yeah.
He just took the front wheels off, and it uses that as a brush cutter.
That's funny. That's working class there.
It is. That's white trash is what
redneck ingenuity.
But I love it.
Well, it's funny that you say, you know, you got that little 650 John Deere, and that's, I'm telling you, that's what we have used on our property for this year. I just bought a new Kubota and with a bucket, and you know, we use that John Deere 650 for all of our plots, because it's a small tractor. You can get into some tight spots with it. We've got a really nice woods tiller with it, and a brush hog, and that little tractor, we have put out some food plots like you can't even believe that little thing. And
that's good to hear.
It just works like a champ.
It's a perfect little size.
Well, it is a little 17-horse Yanmar. I bought a I bought a King Cutter XB tiller from like Farm and Fleet for like $1,400, and then I'm gonna get the XB brush cutter for the little 48-inch. But I always want. It seems like such a small tractor. I'm like, man, is this thing gonna have enough ass to like till the dirt and mow what I want to mow with it? So it's good to hear that you've been using one because you doubt it. It's a small tractor, you know.
It is. It's a small tractor, but yeah, it's definitely got enough you know power. I mean, they're ass, as you put it. It's just and again, you can't, you know, you have to know its limitations, whatever. But I mean, you know, to run a 48-inch tiller, and it's not, you don't have to till super deep either. You know, you can do minimal tilling. You just enough to, you know, break it up and maybe, you know, tear up some of that sod or that that sod base and you know, let the rest, you know, you can see broadcast into that and call the packet and away you go. So,
well, now let's kind of get into like the product specifically, what you offer, because a lot of guys have four wheelers, a lot of guys have side by sides or little tractors like what I have. What are the different options? I mean, do you offer something for each type of like tool or kind of do the breakdown for us?
Yeah. So we have five different models. And so, our standard model has a tubular, you know, steel tubular frame. They all have a cleaner bar or a scraper bar to help, you know, knock the, you know, if you get, let's face it, we all plant food plots when we can, not necessarily when it's perfect timing. So, you know, if the soil's too wet, you know, you can get that build up on the cul-de-packer. So we have a cleaner bar that actually goes in between the grooves and clean, you know, keeps the build up off of it. Mm-hmm. So all of our models have that, but we have the standard unit, which is the kind of the budget, we'll call it the budget model, the entry level. And then we have the Gamekeeper series, the heavy duty model. And that is a 3/8-inch steel frame. That's probably our most popular unit, because you can pull it with a side by side, a quad runner, small tractor, like the John, you know, your John Deere will pull that thing like it's his job. And, you know, in any quad over 300 CCs, just does great with these things. And then we also have a 3-point hitch model, a 4-foot 3-point hitch and an 8-foot 3-point hitch. And then we also have an 8-foot pull behind model.
Oh, so, awesome. Jeez, you got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So the 8-foot model pull behind would be for like a, you know, like a Ranger or a Kawasaki, you know, FTX Pro. It's a little bit bigger side by side. And then the 8-foot 3-point hitch model would be for like a, you know, like a 40 horse, 50 horse tractor or bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So got literally something
for everybody. Yeah.
I like that because you never know like what working class you're going to get. You might get an Eric going out with a push mower and needs just something simple, like behind a little quad. Which is cool. Like I like that you broke that down. Like
old school three wheeler.
Yeah, three wheeler.
Hey, my push mower is self propelled. I can pull one of them things.
Yeah, hook it up behind your push mower. Yeah, it's like, man, that guy's an idiot. You're riding on the cul-de-packer.
Get a horse out there.
Right. Well, one of you guys mentioned the zero turn, and I've actually had guys pulling the standard model with their zero turn.
Oh, really?
You know? I mean,
mine would do it. My my zero turn's got more horsepower technically than my John Deere.
Really.
Does it?
Yeah, it's like a 25 horse zero turn. It hauls ass.
Yeah, I'd have no problem pulling that.
But I got that Yanmar 17 horse diesel.
Yeah, you
got
to use it.
The diesel.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, I have a Ranger, and that's what I pulled the old school homemade cul-de-packer with years ago, and it did fine. And I know that was probably way too heavy. It's probably way heavier than it needed to be. It was a big piece of equipment,
cast iron.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's
old.
That's one thing too. Is a lot of guys, you know, they want. Oh, they got to have, you know, the more weight, the better. Well, that's not necessarily the case because, you know, you don't want to turn the soil into concrete. You want to, you know, you want a firm seed bed. You don't want, you know, you don't want concrete. So
yeah,
heavier isn't always better.
So what are your suggestions on that? Like, do you fill it all the way up with water halfway?
I would say probably 90% of the soil in the country, you know, water is completely fine, and you would fill it up full. The HD weighs 400 pounds. You know, but if you've got a sandy base soil, you know, you don't necessarily have to run it full, you know, full. But I would say most of the time, you know, you'd fill it up and go to town. So
very cool.
Awesome.
But yeah, the standard model with the steel or with the tubular frame, I think is 360 full. And then when that one's empty, it's 65 pounds. I mean, you can pick it up and carry it yourself, you know, just throw the frame over your shoulder and stand up and, you know, you can carry it. I mean, even the HD, it's 100 pounds empty.
See, that's good to know because in my head on a budget, like I don't have a dual axle flatbed trailer like a lot of these guys do. I'm sure I could find one for cheap, but after I buy my mower and after I bought all this other stuff, I'm kind of like, damn it. But I already have a trailer for my Ranger, so that's good to know that I could pick that thing up and throw it in my truck bed.
Right.
Yep.
And just know I got to get to a place to fill it up, and then I'm good. So I don't have to take up trailer space with another implement. When I got my tiller and my mower crammed on a trailer.
Yeah, definitely. They hold about 38 gallons of water roughly. And, even some guys get pretty creative in how they, you know, how they transport the water. If they don't have a water source at their property, some guys will, you know, they literally, you know, if you have a pond or a creek, you know, you can back it right into the pond or the creek. You pull the plug, you stand on it, fill it up, you know?
Right.
That's awesome. One time my dad and I used to lease, this place in Warren County, Illinois. I think one of your guys now leases it. Remember that? We were talking about that at the show?
Yeah, James, I think. One of our guys leases that property now.
I think two of them do, don't they? They were talking about it. They're showing you the map. Yep.
Yeah, I think they leased it together.
It's
been a while and we drink a lot.
whoa, hey.
Sorry to call myself out. but there's a creek that runs through the north end of that property. And what we did, my dad and I, we took basically just like a water pump and threw it down in the creek. This is how we filled like our tank to spray. And we just had a hose that filled up the tank in the back of my Ranger from the creek with a pump.
Yep. And guys will do that too. Or they'll bring in you ever see those polymer, you know, like those black polymer tanks or 55-gallon jugs? They'll put one of those in the back of their truck, strap it in, and they'll fill it with water. And they put a little nozzle at the bottom of it with a hose, and then they just gravity feed it right into the back of their or into the Packer Max drum. So
I like it. Yeah, we first year we did that before we thought of the water pump thing. We were like, oh, shit, how do we refill this thing? We went to the neighbors and we were like knocking on doors like, hey, can we use your water spigot? Yeah.
Right. Yep.
We may or may not have used somebody's when they weren't home. I don't know. That's just a rumor that was going around. Yeah. Not that we did.
Well, it was there.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, too, is a lot of guys, you know, I don't know, people are using watering holes like crazy right now. That's, you know, becoming really popular is watering holes. And so they'll put these, you know, these TSC drums down in the ground and bury them. Well, they, you know, you can make it so that you can pull up with your quad runner with a Packer Max and you just pull right up next to the watering hole. You pull the plug and fill your watering hole and there you go.
You kind of already got to one of my next questions is that's a really creative way to do that. I haven't done the watering hole thing, but I've thought about it a lot, to be honest.
I have too.
Do it.
It makes that big a difference, huh?
They work great. It's crazy. And if you Banks Wild Water, if you put it's like a electrolyte. It's like Gatorade for deer. You put that in that tank, and they just annihilate it all summer, and you get great pictures.
No kidding. Are you doing this in the timber, or where's the best place that you found to put them?
So even like, so on our property, we have a pond, we have different, you know, swamp that's wet probably 2/3 of the year. And the deer still use our watering holes because we put them on one of them in particular I can think of is right on a main kind of a ridge. And that leads right down, it dumps right into one of my food plots. And so they're, you know, from their bedding, they just follow that ridge down right to that watering source or watering hole. They hit that religiously on their way to the food plot. And so I have, you know, get the old cell cams. And so I get a, I get an alert on my, you know, a text when the deer are coming. So
no kidding.
When I'm out, when I'm hunting my food plot, they stop the water hole and I'm like, oh shit, we got deer on the way.
Would that be considered baiting?
The water?
Yeah.
No, it's water.
It's water.
A food plot be bait then.
All right. There's a lot of debate on that, too.
Water sucks. Gatorade's better.
Hey, we don't need to get into that tonight. That's not what we're about.
Right. Right. So, but yeah, I think, you know, and I know for a fact just water isn't, but, you know, by adding the wild water to it, I don't see why it would be. It's just an electrolyte. So.
See, I'm the only Illinois boy right now in the studio, so I'd probably have to check on that because Illinois sucks when it comes to that
stuff. Yeah, they're pretty tough too, and we lease in Hancock County, and we're right on the Mississippi River, and yeah, they're sticklers.
Yep.
Yeah, you gotta love it, right? No supplemental feed, no mineral, no nothing. So our trail cam pictures, my trail cam pictures compared to Doug and Eric's in Iowa is they're very bland.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I just don't start seeing. I mean, I get some good ones every summer and stuff, but not in the. You
on
know,
top of a pile,
I get two pictures of a buck moving naturally, and then Doug and Eric get 100 pictures of, you know, like the same buck eating right. on a pile of big time
with, a group of
with cherry rush powder all over his lips.
Look at his lips.
Just looking pathetic, you know?
Comes up with a freaking big old red nose.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Just staring like a. Like the giant he is.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you got a good measure on that deer. And meanwhile, I'm guessing, just hoping to get another natural moving picture.
You get a blurry picture.
Yeah, I got a blurry
picture of his ass.
He looks big.
Yeah. It's like trying to catch Bigfoot on camera.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's why most of the pictures of Bigfoot were taken in non-bait states.
Right. Exactly.
So stupid.
Bigfoot ain't eating no corn.
No. No. But so what I was going to get to, what's the most creative way you've seen people use the Packer Max?
You know, probably the water hole filling, you know, and then like you said about your sprayer tank, you know, a lot of guys will fill it with water and take it back to some remote locations where they have to, you know, fill a backpack sprayer or, you know, something like that where they need a water source for their glyphosate.
Yeah.
And again, there's pump options available. Like there's a, I saw it on Instagram. There's a, it attaches to your cordless drill.
Yep.
And,
oh, what?
You know, you just put a hose on each end and pump it right out of the, you know, out of the Packer Max and into your backpack sprayer and away you go. So.
Damn, I like
cordless
that.
Drill.
I was hoping there was some crazy story you had with a Packer Max that like nobody would have thought about. I will tell you, I was showing my wife photos of it the other night. And she's like, oh, that'd be great for the yard to get, like, a lot of the bumps and stuff out of the yard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it works really good on moles.
Yeah, and I got a major problem. Not that I'm, like, a yard connoisseur. Like, I just kind of, like, I mow it as short as I can in hopes that it doesn't grow back.
I'm total opposite. I got to have my yard looking nice.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You're man. Mr. Roundup Everything guy, though.
That's just around the edges.
Oh,
because I don't weed eat.
Eric's got that golf course over there.
I do.
Oh, me? Buzz it down to the dirt. Let's go. Man. But I do have some.
Oh, I'm the same way.
It's bumpy because I have like a. I'm not in a residential area, and right. my yard gets tore up by critters.
Yeah.
We just tore out. I had the garden that was in my yard before it could feed like 14 Amish communities. so we tore that out. And I wish I would have had this Cultipacker a few weeks ago. So we tear it out. My buddy Gino brings his box blade over. We get everything smoothed out. And then I broadcast grass seed. And I'm like, hell yeah, it's going to grow good. I even took the time to water it.
You got to water it every day. You got to water it every day.
Can you believe that? No, not me. Once. You get one watering. Figure it out. Your grass seed. Just become grass. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just so you know, 2 week update, no grass has grown. I still got a big old blank space of dirt. So
yeah, if you'd had the Packer Max, man, you'd be golden. It'd look like
you'd be 4 feet tall by now.
My wife would think I was so much more of a man if I would have had your implement right. then.
Well, what's funny is we're having a new house built right now. We just sold our lake house and we're having a house built, and my wife's like, talking about landscape design, and I'm like, shit, can we get AstroTurf put down?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, who? Why wouldn't you have a yard with artificial grass? It'd be great.
What would be the trade-off in cost to have AstroTurf put down? Because I'm about three mows away from saying fuck it and spending like 10 grand on a Ferris mower with all the shit on it.
I mean, it would be, it would just makes perfect sense to me. I mean, why wouldn't you? So, I mean, it's, they do it on football fields. Why the hell can't I have a yard of AstroTurf?
Right. I don't
know. It'd be like Arizona where they don't have grass. Just put a bunch of rock in there.
Hey, I'd be all right with that, actually.
Just painted green.
Roundup is my friend.
Yeah, painted green.
I honestly think about that, like, every time I mow. Because here's the thing. I haven't bought a good mower, right? Like, I buy a $500 zero turn. That's a great zero turn. It's a hog. But I got to jump it every time I want to get on it. It's always got these little quirks that only I know. So no one else can use my mower.
You got to bounce up and down the seat 8 times.
Right.
And
slap it twice.
But it's got a good drift on it. And I can, if the grass is a little bit wet, if I mow early or late, I can Tokyo drift my whole yard and get a lot of shit done.
Right on.
So it's all,
so, you know, you mentioned the garden too. Like, these things are awesome for, I have a lot of, hobby farmers or gardeners using them too, because like if you you've got your tilled up area for your garden, if you just run this thing back and forth and get your rows set.
Yeah.
You just push your you got perfectly straight bean lines. Plus you're getting that seed down in that groove. You just push it down into that groove. So they're perfectly straight lines, you know?
Yeah.
And
never thought about
look,
that.
The freaking gardens look awesome when they're planted with Packer Max. It really does. It looks cool.
Yeah, I planted onions a couple weeks ago. They're finally starting to come up. Looked like I was hammered when I put them in.
Were you?
Maybe.
From everything I've heard and seen them, you may have been in.
Maybe.
Hey, listen, we're not going to act better than we are.
Right.
Right, right.
It is what it is.
Basically, what you're saying is, like, you get a Packer Max, your wife automatically thinks you're so much more of a man over time.
I mean, straight up, yep, 100%. If you're so out there working in the dirt, man, you know, sweating, and she's going to be all over you.
Not an aphrodisiac, you know.
If you ever use anything from this podcast for a quote for your business, can it be that?
Yep, absolutely.
Put that in the guarantee.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Dude, that's cool, man. I imagine you meet a lot of guys that are heavy, heavy into land management and know, like, you know, like Greg and Mark Drury are two of examples, but you probably just meet a bunch of guys that are, I don't want to say no names as disrespect, but no names as far as, like, popularity is concerned, but just some guys who are killing giants every year, kind of under the radar, that just don't want to be known.
Food plot nuts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, every day, and not just from, you know, not just local guys from around Michigan, but I mean, all over the country, you know, that is cool to me, because I'm picking up information from guys all over the place. You know, we had a shipment last week that went out. We had one go to Spokane, Washington, one go to Flagstaff, Arizona, one go to Pensacola, Florida.
Damn.
One go to upper state Maine, and then one go to Minnesota. So, I mean, literally we had Packer Maxes going all over the country.
That's awesome.
Wow. And, I didn't expect that variety, like Florida. I mean,
Washington.
Mm-hmm. I'm an idiot, though, again. But that's cool. I would just think, I mean, what is the primary, like, demographic of your business? Probably Midwest-based, right, though, for the norm?
Yeah, I mean, and again, probably, you know, we do send them to Washington State, and, you know, we send them to South Dakota, North Dakota, you know, Wyoming, all. But, yeah, the upper Midwest, Texas, we sell a lot of them in Texas, Georgia, North Carolina. I guess I didn't really realize there's that many hunters in North Carolina, but we send a lot of them to North Carolina.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, and I'd say probably the number one state that we ship to is probably Wisconsin.
Really?
Do you think that's because of the density of hunters there? Or?
I think so, and I just think there's a lot of land managers there that, you know, herd managers that are, they're trying to grow big whitetails, and, you know, with that comes putting in food plots, and sometimes they have big equipment, sometimes they don't. And even in like Glessinger, even though he's got big equipment, you know, he wants one to do some of their micro plots and, right. you know, and, you know, it's been awesome for me because, you know, like the juries, for instance, I always go back to the juries because I've been watching those guys for 25 years.
Yeah.
My kids have literally, you know, grown up crushing on Taylor, you know, and then my son was with us at the Iowa, you know, the Iowa show.
Yeah.
And Taylor walks up to you guys' booth and my, you know, he's like, hey, dad, you know, he's like, there's Taylor. Like he's, you know, I mean, he's been watching, you know, her since, you know, she could shoot a freaking bow, you know.
How old's your son that has the crush on Taylor?
Yeah, 26. He's married, so I probably shouldn't say that.
Oh,
well,
hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Listen, you're allowed to have a celebrity crush.
Yeah, you can't get him around a crush back then.
Exactly. So, you know, so it's been awesome for me. And, you know, we had Sean Lundy was in the, you know, I talked to him almost probably at least weekly. You know, I've been watching a guy on TV and next thing you know, we're talking and, you know, he's using my product and he's just loving it. He's, you know, splashing it all over Instagram.
That's awesome. Man.
You know, and guys from Major League Bow Hunters have reached out and it's pretty cool because these people are contacting me, for the most part. And, you know, that says a lot about my product and, you know, these people are contacting me. To use it, not necessarily to land a big endorsement deal, but to use my product. So
because they need it,
right? Exactly, because it's a need, and it's like Sean Lundy when he found it, and you know, and I ended up getting one in his hands, and he's like, "This is the missing link to my food plot program," you know,
yeah.
And you can't find call the Packers anywhere because you know they're just. And if you do find an old rusted out cast iron one, you need to put $500 in the bearings and discs and everything else.
You got to figure out how to move it.
Yeah, and exactly. Like you said about your trailer, you know, you pull it up on your trailer and your tires are flat, and you know, I mean,
yeah,
fucker weighs 38
tons. JD650 already pushed her to her limit,
doing a wheelie trying to pull that thing.
Yeah.
Holy smokes!
Yeah,
all right. So you know, so it's been cool, and again, I'm all about this. I love it. It's talking to people about deer hunting and big deer all day, every day is a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I sell real estate too. I sell hunting properties and
God damn, you know, do everything, so, don't you?
Yeah. So it's that, you know, that's another thing that, you know, the real estate market has been insane. And, you know, so that's been a lot of fun too. And you get to all go out and walk these different properties and, you know, we're even trying to get into, you know, starting to buy a couple of properties and doing some food plots and putting up some blinds and,
yeah.
And, you know, and flipping them. And, you know, so,
very cool.
This whole industry has been, it's been fun. And, you know, it's been a lifelong dream of mine to be a business owner. I've made a lot of people a lot of money in my career. And now I'm making myself, you know, an establishing a very good business with an awesome product. So
that's what it's all about, so man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And I'll tell you from meeting you and just meeting you the one time in person at, you know, at the Iowa show and talking to you here and kind of just emailing back and forth with you. You can tell you're a guy that's passionate about what you do and you care about it. And that goes a long way with people that are going to put their hard earned money towards the product. So I would think,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can just tell, you know, like if you're if you weren't that into it, I mean,
yeah, like here it is, and it's what it's due.
So. Yeah, and
buy it or not.
Not everybody's good at podcasting. Some people have like a better knack for just chit chatting, but you're great at podcasting. Like this is just like a natural thing for you. So you kind of have the good product, the knowledge behind it, and the gift of gab to back it up and kind of to go with the flow with it.
Right.
So no, man, I'd like to have you on. I'm already got the wheels turning a little bit here. So we did a podcast. Oh, I don't know. Was it late last winter, boys, when we had Chris Smith from Michigan on talk about Michigan hunting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a thing called Team WCB. So we have like a group of, it might be 35 people that we've kind of handpicked and they all applied and their friends are people that kind of represent our podcast throughout the country. And we can rely on them to come on and talk about their area and stuff like that. And more like we're rolling into using the team for different things as we grow. One of our guys and good friends, Chris Smith, he's from Michigan. He sells property too in Michigan, But I think he's okay. I believe he's Southern Michigan.
I don't know where he's at.
I can't remember.
They're probably enemies.
He was. You guys might be enemies. I don't know.
I think he isn't he sold for Whitetail Properties.
Michigan Whitetail Properties. Isn't that different from Whitetail Properties, or is it the same?
He sells for Michigan Whitetail Properties, and I sell for United Country Real Estate, which is a Realtree franchise. So,
oh, okay.
I actually probably know him.
Okay, well, Chris is a really awesome guy, and
yeah.
But he's very he's a man of few words, but he's kind of like a no bullshit type of guy, you know. He pretty much, without saying it, I hate Michigan hunting, and we have a lot of listeners in Michigan that pissed a lot of Michigan people off. I'm just like, hey, that's all on him. Like, I've never hunted Michigan. I don't know.
That's what he said.
They had the pitchforks out.
Yeah. Don't come here to hunt. If you want to kill big deer, don't come here.
Yeah, right. So what I'd like to do, maybe if we ever revisit the Michigan topic, is have you on to get your perspective. Like, you're also in real estate. You own an implement company, if you will. And so your perspective might be different, because if we do a redo and then it's the same outcome, I think Michigan listeners are just going to shut us out. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's a whole different atmosphere. It's a whole different ball game here in Michigan. We have such high hunter density, and it's like a competition every time you go out into the woods to try to, you know, see the, you know, get the upper hand on the next guy, because there's just so many hunters. I mean, we have more hunters per square mile than many states do have deer per square mile. And, you know, it's crazy. We kill the most deer, I think, out of any state in the country, with the exception of Wisconsin, I believe.
Really?
So, you know, I mean, or we're right up there in the top three for sure. And, you know, it's hard. I mean, trying to get a deer to 3 years old in Michigan is, you know, kind of the equivalent of trying to pull a tooth out of a pissed off grizzly bear. I mean,
right.
You know,
well, it explains Chris's frustration with it, you know, so it is.
And no matter what you do, you know, we actually go into like protection mode. Like, we're trying to protect all these bucks from being killed. And we've got people surrounding us, you know, that are just waiting for that spike horn to jump the fence so they can plow it. And, you know, it's like, shit, what do we got to do here to get a deer to 3 years old? So,
right. Yeah,
it's challenging. And, you know, and thus I've got, you know, we have 160 acres that is my dad has owned for, you know, for 40 years. I've got my blood, sweat, and tears into that property. I love that property. And, you know, it's been great for our family. You know, I think it was last muzzleloading season, we had four generations there muzzleload hunting, you know. That's, you know, awesome. Myself, my dad, my boys, and, you know, my grandchildren. So it was freaking awesome, you know, and we saw maybe five deer collectively the whole weekend. It's like, you know, who gives a shit at this point? You know, sometimes we put so much emphasis on, you know, on the big deer, but at the same time, it's what drives us, you know. So, and if somebody tells you, you know, it's just as fun shooting a spike horn as is a 12 point, they're full of crap. I mean,
I think that the Michigan podcast you will not please our Michigan listeners. Well, let me, there's a small sliver of them that got upset. Everybody else is kind of like, yeah, Chris is right.
I think that's what you're going to find. I think you're going to find that everybody here struggles with the same issues. And I think a lot of people want to have bigger deer here, but it's like they can't. And so, everything, you know, even our Department of Natural Resources, it's like everything they do is the opposite of what they should do. It seems,
right.
You know, and so with that said, I've resorted to, you know, this past season, I shot bucks in three different states. I killed a nice Michigan deer. I shot one in Illinois. I shot a 12 point in Illinois. That was, you know, and I'm not a Glessinger by any stretch, obviously. I shot a 146 12 that he would have laughed and, you know, slapped it on the ass and sent it on its way. But I'm telling
Greg's
you,
on another level.
Right, a 146 is not going to walk by me without bleeding. I mean, it's just...
it's, dude, I can't let him go either.
You're done, son.
Right. You know, and so, you know, and I shot a really nice buck in Ohio, too. And then the last 3 years, I've gone to Saskatchewan, which is a whole nother level of cool.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I've shot three bucks in Saskatchewan. The smallest one was 158 inches, and it weighed 265 pounds.
Man, those things are... That's like a different world up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The biggest one was as far as body-wise, it was a 150, and it weighed 300 pounds field-dressed right on the butt.
Field-dressed.
It's a white-tailed bear over there. 345
pounds live weight, 350 maybe?
Oh, yeah, probably 350. I mean, it's insane. This deer is – I'm standing next to it. I'm not a huge guy, but I'm not a small guy either. And I look like – I mean, it dwarfs me. I mean, the hind quarters on this deer are just enormous.
What, do you have it full mounted or what?
No, I just got a shoulder mount. But it, you can tell – I mean, just any of my Michigan deer, they're all in my shop here in the Plexicase shop here, yeah, or Packermax shop. And I mean, you can instantly look at the Saskatchewan bucks and you look at the Michigan bucks, and it's just not even in the same class.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because my dad shot a buck that we call it the Geyer buck, and it's just a mainframe. It's a 191-inch mainframe 8-pointer with some like just junk on it. But the mount on that thing, the buck was insanely large, but the mount on it is probably 1.5 times every other shoulder mount I have in the house.
Right.
I think it was probably like a close to 300 dress type deer.
Crazy big.
Yeah, just insane. Just abnormal for Illinois, even.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Some Godzilla out there.
So it's. Yeah. I tell people how big that mount is. I had Keaton Minnick from Minnick's. Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank. I feel bad. It's a Cedar Redworks. He makes pedestals.
Yep.
I was like, hey, man, I need like a really wide base pedestal for this mount. It's huge. And right. Then I ended up sending him pictures of it. He's like, holy smokes, that thing is huge. I didn't expect it to be that big.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a hog. It's like a little elk.
They had to add a bunch of clay to the form and on my buck, because they had to build it up around the neck and stuff, because they're just, you know, the form just wasn't, they didn't make one big enough. I mean, and then the other thing is these things have crazy mass up there. Like I don't know, it's a mainframe 8-point and, you know, with a couple of stickers, and, you know, it has like 38 inches of mass measurements.
Does it have a chocolate rack, you know, too?
Oh yeah, all three of them are. I shot three up there, so, and they're cool. All chocolate racks. It's so cool.
What causes that? I heard it's like the sap that they rub on.
You know, I there's a lot of different theories, and there was actually an article recently on it. I mean, somebody was asking some questions about it, but it was, yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, what they rub on. If these, you know, these deer are rubbing on, you know, pine trees and shit up there, and you know, the dirt and then. Did breeze stick to it, you know, I guess.
A little heavy on the sap.
That's right.
Damn. Aunt Jemima got canceled, didn't she? But not in Saskatchewan.
Right. Right.
He liked pancakes?
Yeah. A little syrup on there and throw some cocoa.
I'm surprised they don't have bigger forms for Saskatchewan. Like,
it's such a niche area. They'd probably just expect your taxidermist to be good at it.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy up there, and it's just like a whole other world too. Like, you know, I've hunted up there 3 years now, and I've never even heard another gunshot.
Oh, really?
You know? I mean, yeah. So put it in perspective. In Saskatchewan, the entire province, which is a huge province, only has 1 million people. Michigan has 650,000 deer hunters.
Oh shit! So yeah, so fraction that off of 1 million people. What's there?
Right. And then 250,000 of that million are in one city in Saskatoon. So the whole rest of Providence only has 300,000 or 750,000 people, which is almost as many deer hunters as we have.
That's crazy to think about.
Well, that also adds in, you know, less pressure and just the deer just get older.
Right. I wonder how many deer just die of old age up there.
Oh, I'm sure it's a crazy number. We saw one the year before last. I shot a 6.5-year-old the last, because I couldn't get in last year because of the COVID bullshit. And The year before that, I shot a 6.5-year-old, 13 point, I think it was 148. You know, so it's, again, it's not a huge, enormous rack, but it's a, you know, just a giant deer, 275 pounds. And I shot that deer on Tuesday, and so I had the rest of the week to kind of screw around. And so we were out glassing fields because it's a blend of wheat fields and canola fields up there. And I know when you say Saskatchewan, everybody thinks of the bush, but there's a whole blend of area. So we were glassing this field, and this buck steps out this deer was 190 plus. It was, just a giant freaking buck. And it was, I would say it was probably 350 pounds plus. And I mean, just a behemoth. And, we were just blown away. And even the outfitters, you just don't see deer like that, and it's just big chocolate, heavy ass rack, It's like, God. That's so amazing. It's just a whole other world. So I love going there, and I'll keep going back. So
you're making me want to look at hunts in Saskatchewan, because right now we've talked about this in the past on fairly recent past episodes, how we're kind mm-hmm. of in exploration mode right now in our hunting, where we're adults, we're on our own, we're making money or we're getting opportunity through the podcast to try different yep. type of hunts, different species. And yep. we're kind of in that mode. And we talked about, right now, a whitetail outside of Iowa or Illinois is not really on our radar, but if it was, mm-hmm. that's one of the spots.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'm telling you, it like I said, I went one time, and I'm going to go back every year that I can from here on out. I mean, it's just like nothing I've ever experienced. And I'll give my outfitter a shout out. His name is Chris Cook. He's with Cook's Outfitting. They're a couple hours northeast of Saskatoon. So you fly into Saskatoon, you drive a couple hours to his camp, and it's not, if you're about the great big lodge,
yeah,
and you need to be wine and dine, it's not where he is. He's in the nice comfortable little farmhouse. You got you got showers, you got good food. But you're in the stand almost all day. Well, you're in the stand all day until you shoot out, from sun up to sundown. So you basically, you're only eating there and sleeping there, and that's about it.
Perfect. Sounds like my kind of place.
He's $2,000 less than any other hunt with a big fancy lodge. And so talk about working class. I mean, that's where mm-hmm. I'm at. I'm in the normal working class guys, lodge, not a giant log cabin. So,
yeah, I think that's good, because that shows there's more focus on making sure you're successful in any way they can than money mm-hmm. on their lodge and making sure you had, good right. food's always good in hunting camp, but I'd rather yep. have people worry about more on the hunt and then just make sure I'm not hungry if I'm coming out right. there and don't have all my shit.
And I got a bed to sleep in.
Yeah, I'm good. Right.
Even them smaller camps have the best, down home.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like that, too. And I've done two outfitted hunts. Mm-hmm. One in Oregon. I went out with Leupold, which was great. The camp was great. The people were great. But it was it was a nice place that we stayed and good food. And then in Wyoming, mm-hmm. we went out for bear last spring, and we're going again in another couple weeks. And it's canvas wall tents and horseback and stuff. But
right.
I like...
And Prairie Storm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did Prairie Storm, our guys in Kansas, for turkeys.
Nice.
But what I liked about Wyoming, it's like you get adventure because you're in canvas wall tents. You're stoking your own fire in the tent, and then your horseback.
Yeah.
But when you do eat, it's kind of like the community, and you get to know everyone a little better, mm-hmm. it feels like, because, I don't know, not. Maybe if we were in a mansion, maybe it'd be the same, but it just felt better that we were in,
I think it's like the old school feel of, I don't know, back to yep. your roots.
You're doing
yeah.
it.
How, yeah. yeah.
You feel like you're doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way this camp is, for sure. I mean, it's, and again, it's, it's warm, it's clean, it's comfortable, but, it's more about the hunt. And Chris, that guy is salt of the earth, dude, and he's going to go out of his way to make sure that you have, the best hunt possible. He's going to do his best to get a shooter in front of you, and kind of the rest is up to you, but you're sitting, set up to sundown, and And again, I've never even heard another gunshot, let alone seen another hunter up there. I mean, it's right. It's crazy. So,
well, when we're ready to jump down the Saskatchewan Whitetail Trail, man, I'll definitely look them up because
yeah, I'd love to do that someday.
I'm in
just a monster.
Like it's crazy. Someday. You never know what's gonna step out of the bush either. You know, it's and you know, like I said. If I was, I'm not the guy that's going to pass 150-inch deer trying to get to 170-inch deer. I'm not there yet, but, you know, I know there's bigger deer than the ones I've shot, but, you know, I mean, shit, the ones I've shot are, to me,
damn good deer.
Enormous. Right.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. You know, well, man, I'm in, I've kind of had a change of, not, I wouldn't say a big change in thought, but kind of like a... So my dad just passed away. So I've been kind of going through a weird thing in my head where it's like nothing's guaranteed. Like, you know, I'm going to save up for this 401k to die early and then never be able to touch it. Like I'm just dumping money in a place I can never enjoy it. So like in my head, I'm trying to do as many hunts as I can over the youth years of my life and live it up the way I can. So maybe that Saskatchewan whitetail hunt sooner than I think, you know. And I don't care. I don't have no prejudice against an outfitter or public land. Like I just want to do it.
Do your thing.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can save, it's probably going to cost you, you know, $4,500, you know, by the time it's said and done, which isn't a lot of money for a hunt.
I don't think that is.
Not bad at all.
You know, and I'm talking, you know, the hunt, the tag, you know, all the, obviously the foods included, you might have to, you know, add your plane ticket on top of that and in a rental car. But I mean, it's very affordable. And, you know, I mean, it's a hunt that I can do every year and not have to worry about explaining to my wife, you know, where's all this cash? Well, you know, here, honey, you can go on a cruise next year, you know?
Right. You know, it's funny you say that because one of the guys I grew up hunting with, his name's Jim Burns, and I have yet to have him on the podcast, but he's done every type of hunt. And I told him, like, I wanted to buy a bunch of ground. Like, that's, like, the dream. He's like, dude, hunt where you can at home and do one good trip a year and get, like, all your, like, it, you know, I'm air quoting exotic experiences, like, through that. Like, there's almost just as much value as that than owning your own ground to just hunt whitetails.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for sure. You know, and again, we put a lot of time and energy into our property here in Michigan and we do the best we can, but, you know, and it's still fun. We have a great time and, you know, and again, it's not always all about the big deer, but I mean, that definitely is the icing on the cake. But, you know, I think you're right on target there. You know, you can spend a lot of your treasure on, you know, on frivolous crap and, you know, but, at the end of the day, you know, I think I'm all about experiences and I tell you what, that Saskatchewan hunt is an experience. So it's pretty cool.
I will put that on my radar, sir, because
put it on the list.
Yeah. I mean, I got a few on there, but you
let's
know,
go.
Get the ones that are in the next few years and keep planning for the future here. But hey, I really appreciate you doing this podcast. I really enjoyed the conversation. Mm-hmm. I hope you did
awesome,
as well.
I did. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was cool to get the different perspective from the food plot thing, learn a little bit, and I think you're just an interesting guy in general, the way it all came about. Where can people find you if they want to get a Packer Max? How do they do it?
PackerMax.com, two Ectas, and we've got all of our models listed on there. And if you, I'm going to tell you right now, one of our biggest attributes of our company is customer service. And if you look at any review of our company out there, or our product, you know, they'll say that. And I want to treat my customers like I want to be treated. And that's kind of our business model and our, you know, live and die by, because I'm telling you, if I call a big company these days, it's a train wreck trying to get customer service. And so if you buy our product and you have a problem with it, you know, we're going to take care of you, as quickly as humanly possible. And make sure that you're going to be happy with your purchase, because, you know, we don't take it lightly that if you choose to purchase through us, you know, we appreciate that. And another thing, you know, our product is 100% made in the USA, and it's going to stay that way. So
I love it, man. I love it. Well, hopefully next time we podcast together, which I hope there is a next time, I'd like to have you down in studio at our new studio when it's all wrapped up, and be able to share a beer with you or a whiskey and kind of hang out and make it a true experience.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. I appreciate it. And I'll have so, you know, that's another layer to me, and I don't look down on anybody that drinks, but I'm a 20-year recovering alcoholic. So so
we'll have a water for you.
I've had my stint with it, and I probably drank more than I should have in three lifetimes. But I knocked back with some LaCroix,
All right.
I can hang with the best of them. So that's awesome, yeah. Man.
Well,
I'll be getting you, Kurt. I think we talked about getting one of these in your hands too, and we'll get that taken care of here sooner than later. So all right,
awesome, man. Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to be the working class bow hunter team food plot contractor with the old Janies. We're gonna put that old Yanmar to work, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, just work it like a horse, man.
I'm gonna get all $3,000 worth out of that son of a bitch.
And then we're gonna come. Me and Eric are probably gonna come steal it for a little bit.
Hey, I'll trailer her over there. Yeah. I'll have the Packer Max. You just have 38 gallons of jugs of milk full of water.
Ready? Yeah.
And 38. Jesus.
I don't know if I remember that right. 38 gallons.
I think you're right.
38. Yeah.
38 1 gallon. Milk jugs?
Yeah, that'd be great. If you could have that ready for me, Doug, then I'll pack or max any plot you need, brother.
Perfect.
We'll just siphon out of my truck the gas, and then we'll put it back in.
I mean, that would work, but if you smoke, you could have problems.
Right? Good thing we're not smokers.
We're not smokers, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, unless the Yanmar explodes or something and catches fire, then we're in trouble.
All right.
Well, cool, man. Hey, I appreciate you. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thanks, everyone, appreciate for tuning in. Doug, Eric, you got anything?
No, thanks for coming on, man.
No, thanks for coming on. And
got it, man.
Yeah, I guess I'll figure out.
Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Hope you learned something and enjoyed this conversation. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.